Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just introduce yourself, sir.
Brian Damage Forsyth.
Of course, of the rock and roll, glam metal, hard rock band of 80s fame, Kix, who I know formed in Hagerstown, Maryland, here in the area, but is going to be coming and playing the Frederick Fairgrounds on Friday night. So, hey, thanks for joining us, man.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Remind us, just to start, we'll move a little chronologically. Remind us before what we were talking about before we officially hopped on here, that you grew up in the area, right?
Yeah, I grew up in Frederick. I ended up in Hagerstown later on after the band formed.
Gotcha. And where about in Frederick did you live?
Well, I started out in the 60s, up near Braddock Heights, and then we ended up in Figgeville for a year or so, and then finally settled up in like the Rocky Springs area.
Gotcha. And remind us then how you guys actually formed in Hagerstown. How did you meet the rest of Steve Whiteman and Donnie Purnell and the rest of them, Jimmy?
Well, it was kind of like a long, drawn-out process, but it started out in Frederick. I ran into Ronnie because I knew Ronnie through other bands. I used to go see his bands play, and we didn't go to the same high school, but I knew of him, and I'd met him a few times. So I heard that he was leaving his band at that time, so I was trying out for his band to take his place. And one night in Frederick at a 7-Eleven, I ran into him, and he told me about this band that him and Donnie Purnell were putting together, and he talked me out of joining his old band. He goes, "Oh, you don't want to play with those guys. They never rehearse and they never learn any new songs." That's sort of how it started. Ronnie just approached me out of the blue like that, which was really cool. And then we got together at my parents' house there in Frederick first. It was just Ronnie, Donnie, me, and then another Donnie Spence on drums. And we ended up going through a few different singers over the next couple years. We finally got Steve around 79. And then soon after Steve, we replaced our original drummer with Jimmy. So, it took a while. So it wasn't until the end of 79 until we had the full lineup. But then by that point, we ended up relocating up into, by the time we got Steve, we were in Hagerstown. So that's how we ended up there.
Gotcha. So you said that was around like 79. And then I know you got Atlantic signed you in like for your, I think it was 81 for the self-titled debut album, Kix. How'd that deal come about? You know, you're playing in Hagerstown. A lot of people wouldn't think you could, land a record deal in freaking Hagerstown.
Well, we were playing other places besides Hagerstown. I mean, we actually got the A&R guy from Atlantic came down to a club in Waldorf, this place called the Stardust. But the way we got that was we hooked up Face Dancer's manager, this band Face Dancer from Baltimore that had a record out on Capitol. So we thought, well, we'll get their manager, that way he can get us a record deal. And sure enough, he did. And the way he did it was he would take these, our sound man would record the show every night from a cassette deck on the soundboard. He would just stick a cassette tape in and record the show. And our manager started taking those tapes, and he would just stick them in an envelope and send them off to different record companies. And Atlantic was the first one that, actually the only one that responded. And they sent the guy down to Waldorf to see us live. And within like a week or two, we were doing a showcase up in New York City for the label.
Gotcha. All right, so you had your debut album. How do you think how do you think you guys evolved from that to, you know, your second one was Cool Kids, and then Midnight Dynamite, your third, was probably the one that you really, really blew up in. But what how important do you think that period was of you guys sort of, you know, finding yourselves until you finally really exploded there with Dynamite?
Yeah, it was kind of an evolution. you know, because early, like 1980, because most of the songs on the first record were written, well, here's a little tidbit. When Ronnie, Donnie, me, and the original drummer got together for the first time, it was December 1977, in my parents' basement. The very first song we worked on and played together was Atomic Bombs. So, you know, all those songs for the first record were written from like that point through 1980. And, you know, at that time during the music scene, it was like punk rock and new wave. And there was, you know, some rock bands too. There was like Cheap Trick and some, you know, Aerosmith was still around. But so, you know, that was the influence back then on that record. So each record was influenced by just a little further into the 80s. And plus, you know, by the time we got to Midnight Dynamite, Donnie's songwriting was maturing. He was just getting better every time. Every album got better and better. And so by the time we hit that, it was almost like we sort of found our identity, I think. The first two records were kind of fishing around trying to find it.
Gotcha. Yeah, for sure. And then, of course, I mean, everyone remembers the big power ballad, Don't Close Your Eyes. That was on the fourth one, right? That was Blow My Fuse. Memories of, you know, I mean, you guys have had, you know, you had had hits before that and everything, but I feel like that's the one you'll still hear on, you know, if they do those, you know, best power ballad collections of the 80s, you'll hear that one sometimes. What remind, you know, do you remember where you were when you first heard that thing on the radio, or just your general reaction of seeing that song blow up?
Well, yeah, I don't remember where I was when I heard it, but I know that we were kind of at the end of the cycle. Like, we'd already put out, what was it, Cold Blood, Get It While It's Hot, and Blow My Fuse videos off of that record. And the record company was actually already done with it and had told us that it was time to move on and start thinking of the next record. And we were on the Tesla Great White tour at that point. It was right at the end. We were going to come off the road and then start working on another record. And their manager, Great White's manager, Alan Niven, who was also Guns N' Roses' manager at the time, heard us playing that song every night. And after one of the shows, he comes up. Our manager was there that night too, and he goes, "How come that's not a single?" And our manager said, "Well, the record company said they're not putting any more money into this record. It's time to do another record." And Alan Niven said, "Well, they'd be crazy not to release that." And I guess our manager had already asked them, and they turned it down. So Alan Niven says, "You mind if I ask them?" And he had, you know, at that time, Guns N' Roses was huge. So he actually called Atlantic and told them they'd be insane to not release that song. And so they took his advice, and they released it. And I remember when it started to build, it was because we had released a bunch of different songs by that point, and they'd always come out and they do okay, but, you know, it never like took off. And this one started taking off, and it was like, I couldn't believe, like, the list of radio stations that it was being added to. It was really cool to watch that happen. And we got all the way to number 11, not quite top 10, but still, I mean, that is so cool.
That's so cool. And thanks for that story. I didn't realize that, you know, it was sort of an afterthought of, you know, like the fourth or fifth single you would even put out on that. That's a cool story.
Yeah. Well, that also goes to show you that, you know, half the time the record company has no clue. They're just sort of, I don't know what they're thinking.
Well, you know what? If it was a science, every song would be a hit, you know? So there's a bit of weird organic magic to it, I guess.
Yeah.
So that, you know, you close out the 80s on a bang with that. And then when you're moving into the 90s, you got, you know, you did Hot Wire. And then I feel like I remember there was like a live album. Didn't you record it in College Park, my alma mater, University of Maryland?
Yeah, it was College Park.
Memories of that show down there? Was it at Cole Fieldhouse or where'd you play it?
Yeah, that's where it was. Yeah, I remember that very clearly. We did, we actually shot two videos before the show, like after soundcheck. We did the video for Hot Wire and a video for Rock and Roll Overdose. And then we had to do a concert after that. And I don't know if you've ever experienced like somebody shooting a video, but it's like take after take after take after take. So, I mean, by the time we got done doing two videos, I know myself personally, I was like completely worn out. And then I had to come out and do a show. So it was a little bit rough. And I think we had had a 2-week break right before that. And that was like the longest break we'd had in several years. So, you know, not only were we worn out from doing those videos, but we also weren't like, we were sort of out of the routine of playing like every single week. So, you know, we had to sort of, I don't know, I felt like it was a little sloppy, but it came off. It came off pretty well on the record.
Cool. When I was researching you guys, I remember, I was like, whoa, no way. They played at Cole Fieldhouse. That's so cool. Well, I mean, yeah, we could go through all your albums and concerts, but I guess the main thing, at least in recent years, locally, before COVID hit, you know, Kix was a mainstay at Merriweather at that M3 Rock Festival they did every year. Just memories of why that became such an annual deal for you all.
Well, for one thing, it's kind of like the hometown crowd. When we first started, I think they were only doing, they didn't have Fridays yet, I don't think, when it first started. Or if they did, I don't remember. We were just sort of lumped in, you know, with all the other bands. And then we were doing so well, like, we would go on and the place would just be, like, everybody would flood in there. And then when we got done and the next band goes on, people would start leaving. And I think they noticed that. And so they ended up putting us on Friday, like headlining the Friday night slot from then on. So we've been doing it pretty much, I think, from the beginning. We've been doing that every year.
Yeah, I mean, I remember every time they put out the, you know, the headliners there, you guys are always there. So, I mean, it's definitely kept you guys, you know, the name Kix around locally for a while now. Cool. Well, I mean, that sort of brings us to present day. You know, tell us about the gig at the fairgrounds in Frederick here this weekend. You know, how much has COVID sort of sidelined your tour dates and why was this Frederick sort of this oasis where you just, oh wow, a random gig we can play now and no one else is playing?
Well, yeah, I mean, we pretty much stopped playing mid-March and we hadn't, like, you know, our calendar was full before all this stuff happened. And little by little, you know, first March and April, all those shows got shoved into June and July and beyond. And then the closer we get to each one of these months, the shows kept getting pushed and pushed and pushed. So now our whole calendar is empty, you know, till the end of the year. And so this show kind of popped up like not that long ago, like within the past month. It was just like, because there was nothing going on. So it's like these things pop up and we can go, well, yeah, we're not playing. So, and you know, and thank God for that. But this is the third show we've done this year. No, we did a private event in July. And then we did Labor Day weekend, we did a show, outdoor show. Then we did a small club in outside of Baltimore at one point. So this is only the third show we've done since March.
Wow.
I mean, an official like concert show.
Well, it'll be nice to see you guys back out there. I'm sure I'm sure the muscle memory is still there. Yeah. You guys are, I know you're, I know you said you're living in Nashville now. How cool is it though, whenever you get a gig like this, so you see it, you know, a Frederick gig pop up and you say, you know, no way, that, you know, that's where I grew up, you know, but how satisfying is that for you? Get some of the hometown crowd to come out, drive up in their cars and watch the show at Frederick.
It's really cool. I mean, we don't actually play Frederick that often because there's not really anywhere to play.
Right.
So this is really cool to have this opportunity to do this. I mean, most of the time we play Maryland, it's like, well, closest to Frederick, I think, is Brunswick when we do those shows. But yeah, so this is going to be cool.
Very, very cool. And I assume, I don't want to spoil the set list entirely, but I assume we'll hear all the hits from over the years. Any cool covers? I mean, what do we got planned?
No covers, but yeah, you'll hear, you know, we're trying to mix it up a little. We've sort of, because when we find a good running order for the set list, we stick to it most of the time and just switch out a couple things here and there. But these last few shows we've done, we've flipped the set list inside out. So it's like, you know, the songs aren't where people expect them to be. So, and we've brought back, you know, a couple that we haven't done in a while. So it'll be good.
Awesome, man. Well, we're looking forward to it. Again, everybody, it's Friday night at the Frederick Fairgrounds with Kix. Get your tickets now. Thanks so much for joining us, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure. And one last thing before we go, I should mention that we're re-releasing Midnight Dynamite. And it's, I think the release date is November 20th, if I'm not mistaken.
Cool. But so it's going to be. Can come hear some of those songs this weekend, and that'll be the perfect way to tee up getting the re-release the following week.
Yeah. I'm sure. Well, Steve will be talking about it, so people will be informed.
Okay. That's awesome, man. All right. Well, cool. Thanks for reminding me. I almost forgot to ask you that. Thanks so much. I really do appreciate it. I think this will be a cool interview for especially people that, you know, grew up around here and riding around listening to WTOP. They'll hear when they hear Kix, their ears are going to perk up a little, I think. So thanks so much.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks.
All right. Take it easy.
All right. Bye.